Good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're here. We're going to continue in our lesson from last week, Talking to God. We're doing a series called Developing a Better Relationship with God. And the first week, we looked at how God speaks to us, and that, of course, is through His Word. And we talked about the importance of, you know, listening and meditating and obeying the Word. And then as we talked about how you develop a relationship, one of the things we talked about is communication, right? And, of course, communication is a two-way street. Although listening is very important in conversation, you have to listen, but you also have to speak. And so we talk to God, and of course we talk to God through prayer. So last week we saw, the amazing thing that God would desire to talk to us, and the amazing thing that God hears us, you know, because of the Lord Jesus, because of His ministry as our high priest. He has opened up heaven for us, and not only heaven, but the very throne room of God, so we can go directly to God in prayer. And then we talked about the first point. We looked at forms of prayer and, the different types of prayer: thanksgiving, praise, confession, petition, intercession, reliance, submission, questions, and expressions of salvational faith. And then we saw that we could talk to God about what? Anything, okay? Because He knows anyway. And so we can talk to Him about anything. Then we looked at different addressees in our prayer. We talked and we saw how as children we can address the Father. As servants we can address our Master, the Lord Jesus. As vessels we can address our resident helper, the Holy Spirit. And then we ended with we approach the Father through the mediating sacrifice and intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is active in our prayer life. So today we're going to pick it up, Roman numeral 3, several rules about prayer. But before we do, let's pray. Father, help us to understand Your Word. Help us, Lord, to this Sunday school hour to just desire to learn more about prayer and desire to pray more, to pray better. As the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And, Father, may our lives be lives that are known to be lives of prayer. We ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Roman numeral 3, several rules about prayer. There are no rules for posture, place, time of day, or length of our prayers. I know we kind of touched this a little bit last week, but no rules. You can be standing, you can be kneeling, you can be laying flat on your face, right? You can be sitting, you can be in the belly of a whale, you can be any, you know, no posture, so there's no rules for that. No place again, no time of day. We heard that Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night. We know some of the Psalms talks about how all night, you know, we wet our pillow with our tears in prayer. And then length of prayers. We see very long prayers in the Book of Kings when Solomon is dedicating the temple. There's a very long prayer, Nehemiah's long prayer. But we see very short prayer, like Peter as he's falling, sinking in the water. Lord, save me! You know, and Paul tells us to pray, you know, without ceasing. So no rules for that. And I think I said last week, I remember hearing Dr. Ron Comfort say, you know, private prayer should be long, public prayers should be short. You know, how short? I mean, we're not talking, you know, hey, Lord, thanks, you know, but you know what I mean. But we must pray in Jesus' name. Look at John 14, verse 13 and 14. And we talked about this a little bit. I want to pick up again on this. But John 14, verse 13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Okay? I think we said last week, it's not just a formula to tack on the end of prayer, you know, to make it, oh, well, if I pray in Jesus' name, it will come to pass. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Any thoughts? Okay, very good. No access without Jesus. Okay? We're coming to God in the name of our high priest, so there's no possibility that I could stand before God without the Lord Jesus. Okay? Anything else? Right. We're going to pick up on that in a minute I think it's in this one. If not, it's in the second point that we're going to look at today, but having to do with abiding in Jesus, you know? So praying in Jesus' name is also things that Jesus would be, you know, pleased with and Jesus would himself do, right? We're not going to pray, you know, for something that is against the faith, against the Bible, you know, but things that would be in line with Jesus' character, right? You know, praying for the salvation of people, praying for, you know, God's blessing on services and the preaching of, you know, things like that. So, and how do you get, it's kind of what this class is about, but how do you learn about somebody? By getting to know them, right? You know, think about you folks who are, were, you know, married or had any kind of relationship. You know, when you first get married, you think you really know that person. But man, you get to know them more and more, and the more time you spend with somebody, whether it's your kids, your friends, whomever it may be, you get to know more and more about them. So we get to know what the will of God is, the will of the Lord Jesus is. And so our will aligns with His will, and our prayers become, you know, think about your prayer life when we first, you know, became Christians and we didn't know a whole lot. You know, our prayers sometimes were selfish, weren't they? You know, but then we began to intercede more on behalf of others. Okay? So these all have the idea of praying in Jesus' name. Not a secret formula at the end of a prayer, but, you know, developing that relationship with God and Christ where, have you ever been so close to somebody that sometimes you finish their sentences? You know what they're thinking, right? You know, and think about that, you know, where you begin to pray, right? And then, oh Lord, I know what I need to do in this, you know, thank you. And then you pray that because God kind of reveals that to you through His word, through your prayer life. So it's kind of like, I mean, there are many times that Sandy and I will be talking to one of the kids or something, and you know, I start saying something and she kind of finishes it, or we start saying the same thing and we look at each other. It's because, you know, we know each other and so, okay? Knowing, being, and asking is His will. Yep. Knowing His will. Being in His will. Then asking for His will. Yep. Good. All right? Okay, next point. We must ask specific requests. James 4. Great to pray with little kids, isn't it? You know, and as they develop, and I love sometimes, you know, we've heard prayers like, oh Lord, be with every missionary in the world and may every person in the world get saved. I mean, that shows their heart, but let's be specific in our prayers. And what do we mean by specific requests? James 4, 2 and 3 says, ye ask not, I'm sorry, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Oh, I read that. I missed verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain, ye fight, ye war, ye ask not, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Okay? That ye may consume it with your lust. So ask specific requests. Don't just aimlessly pray, you know. Well, Lord, bless everybody today, and you know, just give everybody a good day, and just bless everybody, and you know, that's asking amiss. Be specific, you know, and be precise with your prayers, okay? And when you know, and I'm not here to you know, beat on the little children or the new believers, but you know, but this is something that needs to be developed, you know. You know, if you're hungry for something in particular, you're going to ask in particular what you want, right? You know, hey, tonight, Sandy, make me a steak. You know, but you know, be particular, be specific. Okay, good. All right. Here's what Andy talked about a little bit. We must abide in Jesus. John 15. John. That's okay. That's okay. Not a problem. Right. I mean, yes. I mean, is there anything wrong with praying for something you may need? No. Okay. But again, we can be very selfish in our prayer. You know, we can be prideful sometimes in our prayer, right? The two people that went to the temple to pray, the publican and the Pharisee, right? The publican wouldn't even look up to heaven, beat on his chest, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The publican, look at me, right? Not the publican, the Pharisee. Look at me. You know, I do this, I do that, I do everything. I'm not like this guy. You know, that's pride, that's selfishness. But you know, also sometimes selfishness, just prayer's all about me. There are times we do need to pray for our needs. You know, or give us this day our daily bread, you know. But I don't think, you know, you're talking necessarily about that. You're talking about more, you know, selfish things. Mm-hmm. Okay, give me an example. Okay. Right. 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 I mean, we all, is it a selfish prayer to pray for a new president? I mean, you know, you know, it doesn't matter who the president is. We have to pray for him, right? Paul tells us that. And what do we have to pray? That we could lead quiet and peaceful lives. And, you know, maybe a certain person, a certain party, a certain platform, you know, has a better chance to leave us alone. You know, that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. I don't know if that's necessarily a selfish prayer. But, you know, our world isn't going to come to an end if the person we're voting for didn't win. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, maybe, you know, a certain outcome, if something happens, you know, you're praying for so-and-so because you know that that outcome will benefit you. I think that maybe is what Andy is talking about, too, you know. And, yeah, of course, we want our grandkids close. We want our, you know, so, yeah. But here's something to remember. When we're abiding, look at John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. All right? So if you abide in me, and what's the next phrase? My words abide in you. So notice that two-way communication there? There's talking to God and he's talking to us, right? And so give me some examples of what it means to abide in Christ. What's it mean to abide in Christ? To be with Him? Okay. Yep.
In tune.
In tune. So, in the context of this, what is the example the Lord uses in the context of abiding me? A branch and a tree, a vine, right? So, you know, Andy knows more than this about, you know, more of this about any of us, but if you cut a limb off of a tree, you know, the leaves that are on that, let's just suppose it's, you know, summertime and the leaves are all full, you know, for a certain amount of time, those leaves are going to look all right because, you know, there's still a little bit of juice or whatever it is in the branch, but eventually it's going to dry up. You're going to go out a few days and it's going to be, you know, eventually it'll fall away and eventually everything dies. So abiding in Christ is of course like a branch abides in a vine. So we get our spiritual nourishment from the Lord, you know, and it is His nourishment that's supplying us because we're abiding in Him and our Word is abiding in us. You know, we'll know what to ask. That's what He says. We'll know what to ask, right? Because you're in His Word, because you're communicating. How do you get to know somebody? By talking to them. Asking questions. You know, hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 you know, or whatever. So it's the same thing, that abiding, you know, that desire to be with, right? There's the other thing, you know, and realizing that that Christ never leaves us or forsakes us. That's important to know. That's important to understand in this whole aspect of abiding, okay? And what else, when you abide, what else, what's the product of abiding beside answered prayer? James says we're not only hearers of the word, we're doers, right? So as we're abiding, we're communicating through prayer, through the word, we're communicating, we're abiding. We're getting in tune with Christ. We're understanding what His will is. We're meditating on His word. We're obeying His word. And we know what to ask. And when we ask, we receive. Because we're abiding. Okay? Which leads to the next point. We must believe that God will answer as He promises. Matthew 21:22. Some people don't believe God can answer their prayers. Matthew 21:22, the Bible says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," what's the next word? "Believing, ye shall receive." Now, we might not voice this. "Oh, Lord, I don't think you can do this." But sometimes we act that way, don't we? You know, we have to believe. Maybe we're praying for somebody who's like, man, they have just been ornery their whole life. They've been ornery to you, right? They're just, how in the world can the Lord save this person, you know? Or maybe it's just an impossible situation. Maybe you've been stuck in a rut forever, you know, and the more you try to get out, the deeper you get, you know? I remember one time when I was a kid, I had a dirt bike, and we lived, and behind us was just thousands and thousands of acres of woods, and there was trails in there, and there was this one place I went to cross, and man, it was mud, and I got stuck, and then I'm trying to get out with my motorcycle, and it was not being good. And I kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying till finally the only thing of my motorcycle you could see was the handlebars, the top of the gas tank, and the top of the seat. Now, I got a little worried because I was getting like stuck in there myself. So I had to get out, walk all the way home, you know, and go get a couple other friends with motorcycles to pull me out, because, you know, I just kept, maybe that's a situation we find ourselves in, right? And we're just, you know, to us it's impossible. Ah, Lord, I don't, you know, this is just how I've been my whole life. And there's just no hope, you know. And so as you're praying, why is that prayer not going to be answered? Because you're not believing. You know, a lot of times our prayers aren't answered because of me. I don't believe God can do it. You know, I don't believe He can do it. And we're in the way, you know, and we keep, you know, going deeper, 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 deeper. Now, sometimes God is extremely gracious and He intervenes and He picks us up out of the mud. You know, I realize that. But a lot of times, you know, we don't answer. You have not because you ask not, or we ask amiss, or we don't believe that God can do what He says He can. Okay? God already saved the worst sinner in the world, Paul. Paul said he was the chiefest sinner. And you've probably heard this exact phrase, "Oh, God can't save me, I'm too bad." You've probably heard that, right? And when I hear that, I always tell people, hold it. Don't say that, because God already saved the worst of us. And I show them what it says of Paul, and, you know, so. But, okay, any thoughts, comments? Faith, right? That's really what we must believe, that God will answer as He promises. That's faith. Does God want to answer our prayers? Of course He does. Of course He wants to. Okay? But here's something also that we're not always good at. Luke 11. We must ask persistently. What does persistently mean? Constantly. Like a drippy faucet, like the widow, the persistent widow that came to the judge, right? And he kept coming, she kept coming, and finally the judge said, "All right, already, I'll do it." But look at Luke 11, verse 5. He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight, and saying to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is on a journey, is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give thee.' I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," that word means persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So, you know, it's interesting that the word ask is also the acronym for here. A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. Right? You know, so ask, seek, knock. And keep asking, and keep seeking, and keep knocking until your prayer is answered. You know, I cannot remember the person's name, but I remember hearing the account of a man who prayed for a dear friend of his, for his salvation. His whole entire life, he prayed for this man constantly, constantly, constantly. And the man died, who was praying for his friend. And he did not see his friend get saved. But at his funeral, that man got saved. Did God answer his prayer? He did. Did he ask, seek, and knock persistently? He did. Okay? And, you know, maybe he had a front row seat to it, you know, in heaven. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying. It says the angels rejoice in heaven when somebody gets saved. So maybe this guy saw the angels rejoicing, and he said, "Hey, what's going on over there? Oh, George just got saved, you know, at your funeral, you know." But we have to ask, we have to seek, we have to knock, we have to be persistent. We can't give up. What kind of a society are we today? Instant, right? Instant gratification. You know, now. I'm hungry now. You know, I want this now. Do this now. I can't wait. You know, we have a 6-year-old grandson that is, you know, he has the patience of a flea, you know. And, but we're like that sometimes, aren't we? You know, and, you know, so we have to ask persistently. Because you have to understand something, especially if we're praying for somebody else. There's a will involved there also, right? So God has to work on that person. And God has to bring certain things into that person's life. And certain people, maybe even other people, into that person's life to, you know, so keep praying. Keep praying. This guy, you know, of course, a different day, different customs. There were no, you know, convenience stores and there were no motels and whatnot. So when somebody came, it was, you know, you had to be hospitable. Well, this poor guy didn't have anything, but he knew his neighbor did. And come on, I got to feed my friends. I'm not getting up. The kids are in bed. We're tired. Go away. I'm not going to stop. And finally, he gives him what he needs, you know, so, you know. And we need to be persistent with God. God doesn't grow weary of our coming, you know. And remember, the illustration here is not on, you know, the judge saying, all right already, or the guy in bed saying, all right already. You know, the stress of the illustration is the persistence. Ask, ask, ask. What does that show if we continue to ask? What was that? Faith, did you say faith, you know, and also that it's serious, right? You know, this is important to us, you know. Okay, any other questions or thoughts on that? Yes?
So do you think that in these situations, is it best to go in believing and demanding, kind of in a way that God heal this person? I know you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yada yada yada. I'm praying 24/7 for this person. Or is it better to pray more like, I would love for you to heal this?
Yeah, well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, here's something that a lot of times, now let me finish my statement before you throw rocks at me, okay? A lot of times we pray for somebody, oh Lord, I know you can, I know you can, I know you can, save them. Nevertheless, if you don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like a way out, right? We prayed for Pat to be healed, and she was, you know. But we also, you know, but it was God's will for that time, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die. This is how God was going to bring her home. You know, Paul prayed, I want to go to heaven. And you know, I really want to go to heaven. I've seen the third heaven. You know, I want to go there. But nevertheless, it's better for you that I stay here. You know. So, you know, there are sometimes there are tough answers to prayer. Sometimes an answer is no.
So you're yeah. suggesting maybe not praying that, but if
it's really... No, I would always pray to save somebody.
Yeah.
I would. And if... And if it doesn't happen, then it wasn't God's will to leave her with us. It was God's will to take her home. Yep. 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 Yep.
Yep. And he took her away because she probably would have suffered a lot more with that.
Yep. Why do... I read a thing the other day. The woman had recently died, and she survived a plane crash where she was actually blown out of the plane and fell 20-some thousand feet. She survived. Everybody else is dead.
How's that possible?
Yeah, something happened. Oh, this happened a long time ago. No. This happened a long time ago, and that lady who fell out of the plane died, and then they told the story about how, you know, many years ago, you know, how does that happen? It wasn't her time to die. I mean, obviously, right? It's appointed unto men once to die. So there's a lot of mechanisms and gears, I guess you can say, in prayer. Prayer's not complicated. I don't believe prayer is complicated. We ask, seek, and knock, you know, but sometimes God's answer is no. Because God, as we're going to see also, God wants to give us what's best. And somehow it was best for Pat to go to heaven. You know? Right. But look at the prayer for Joel, and God spared him. Look at the prayer for Josh. And, you know, Josh is, okay, he might have struggles, but Josh is still with his family. So... Yeah. Yep. And I was at the doctor's meeting with Becky and Becky's mom and Emily. And the doctor said, go home and make plans. Larry's not going to make it.
And to me, this is how I have seen that. God is more than able to save us, but it just wasn't the act of mercy on that. It's okay to pray.
I
don't believe that God wants us not to pray.
Right.
But he couldn't deliver that because it wasn't his own will.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He answered that. She rejected the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That is the free will of man. That
right.
Is not God,
right.
Not answering that prayer.
Because when you pray for someone's salvation, yes, there's God. What's God's desire? He wants to see everybody saved, right? But there's another will involved. You know, there's another will involved. So, you know. And I have no control over that other will. Okay? So I think you need to pray. I mean, we all know God can do anything, right? We all know that. And I think we need to pray that way. You know? And if it doesn't happen the way we ask, okay, Lord, what is it through this? You know, how can I glorify you through this? What do you want to teach me through this? You know?
Mm. If I'd been there on doing, we can die because suicide, but we can also die because of stupidity.
No, I know he's not talking about Pat in that case, but
it's a choice.
Yeah.
About prayer and God's will.
Yep.
And give him credit for stuff he don't want credit
right.
for.
Right. And blame him for things that aren't his fault.
And
yeah. Right? Mary and Martha, right? Didn't Martha come to Jesus? Lord, if you had only been here. What is she saying in that statement? You know, Lord, because you weren't here, my brother's dead. Blame. It's your fault, you know. And, you know, and the Lord is so patient, right? You know, he wept with them, you know. He said, you know, we're gonna see something bigger here, you know. And yeah, no, I think she also fully believed that Jesus could have healed him. She saw him heal me. I think that. But Lord, if you had only been here, you know, where were you? So, you know, it could be, I know you could do it, but you weren't here, you know. Well, roll away the stone. Then her, you know, Lord, he stinks, you know. Really? You know, so God can do anything. He can do anything. Anything is possible. And you know, but God, you know. Joanna just made me a T-shirt that says, but God, you know. He can do anything, you know. Yep. Amen. Amen. I mean, look at today. I read in my devotions in 1 Kings about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal. He goes, he runs to Ahab and he tells him, it's not going to rain, right? Then he runs away, and he's fed by the ravens. What kind of bird is raven? A scavenger. A scavenger, every morning and every night, brought Elijah, the Bible says, bread and meat. Okay? They didn't need it. A famine's going on. The brook runs out. Of course, he goes to the widow in Zarephath, so now he's on the other side of the Jordan River, he's with a Gentile, and make me a cake. Well, you know, I'm gathering some wood so that my son and I can eat our last two cakes, and we're going to wait to die. And he said, you make me one first. And that will never, and of course it never ran out, right? So then he goes and he tells Ahab, you know, gather all the prophets, and let's have a contest. Let's see who's God. Of course, they make their, you know the story, they make their altar, and they're praying all day long, and Elijah's mocking them. Maybe he went away, maybe he's sleeping, speak a little louder, they're cutting themselves. So Elijah gets his, he repairs, first off, very important, he repairs the broken down altar. He puts the wood on it, the sacrifice on it. What's going on? A 3-year drought. He soaks the sacrifice in water. What is precious in water? What is precious in a drought? The water. And he soaks the sacrifice 3 times. He prayed, you know the story. Licked up everything. Killed the prophets of Baal. Then he goes up on Mount Carmel and he prays and he says, he prays for it to rain. And he says to his servant, what do you see? I don't see anything. What do you see? Wait a minute. There's a little cloud about the size of a hand. And then, you know, the heavens open up. And what does Jane tell us about Elijah? He was a man of like passions as us, right? Did Elijah have doubts? Of course he did. You know, did you know, of course, you know, after this great thing, he runs away from Jezebel, you know, and, you know, what was that? I know. But you know, we have to trust God and we have to believe God. And I think prayer also teaches us, right? Dependency upon God and to go to him with our every care. And again, what are we developing? A relationship. Right? And you know, do we always give our kids everything they ask for? No. Sometimes the answer is no. You know? But I believe God wants to answer us, you know? So sometimes the answer is yes. And here's a tough one. I think this is tougher than no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Not yet. Wait. Because then we learn dependence, and we learn patience, and we learn, you know, faith and things like that. So, what? Again, more persistent, right? Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying till the answer comes. And when the answer for Pat came, praise the Lord then, you know. And Lord, what is it through this you want to show us, you know? Well, okay. Yes. So, well, we didn't finish again. So we'll finish up next week, because this is important. But you know, let's just keep working at it, keep praying, keep developing that relation with God. Amen. All right.